Amen. I'm glad somebody obeyed. Turn with us to Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2. Our scripture lesson is taken from verses 2 through 5. 2 through 5. Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want to talk to you about the mind this evening. You know, sometimes people use the expression, I have made up my mind. Sometimes people, when they are concerned about what your intentions might be or what your plans might be, especially if there is a spirit of suspicion present in their minds, you know what they will ask you? They will ask you, what do you have in mind? Or what did you have in mind? And that's what I'd like to talk to you on. What do you have in mind? I'm seeking a disclosure from you. When I ask, what do you have in mind? I'm asking, what things do you have in the center of rational activity and cognitive functioning of man? You know, man's mind is the area where man thinks, where man engages in rational thoughts, where man ponders, where man decides, where man chooses. You know, sometimes people turn things over in their mind. They are thinking about things and looking at the ramifications and the implications of things. And when men are seeking to make a decision, we can speak of their mental wheels turning. You know, they're trying to decide. They're processing information. And everybody has something in mind. As it relates to living our lives each and every day, there are some things that we have in mind. And my question is simply, what do you have in mind? What kinds of things do you have in your mind that determine your purposes, that determines your goals, that determine your plans, that determine your thoughts, that determine your future activities? See, the mind is the control center of man. And before you can make any decision, it has to be processed in your mind. Now, really, when it comes to living for the Lord, when it comes to my daily activities, from a spiritual perspective, the things I have in mind ought to be the things you have in mind. Your goals and my goals should be the same. our goals should be consistent with the word. Your values and my values should be the same. Your concepts and my concepts should be the same. Your beliefs spiritually and my beliefs spiritually should be the same. Because we should have the same things in mind. And the term we use to express that, having the same kind of mind, that term is like-minded or like-mind. So when we talk about what is stored in your mind and what is stored in my mind should be the same. Now, I've been knowing the lady sitting back there whose birthday is today for over 31 years. To a great degree, I understand what she has in mind. To a great degree, I know what her purposes are. I know what her motivations are. I know what her likes and dislikes are. I know what she loves and what she detests. I know what her values are. I know what she feels about different things. I know what she believes about God. I know what she believes about the church. I know what she believes about her responsibilities and obligations as a Christian, as a wife, and as a mother, and as a sister. I understand that. I understand her mindset. I think I know what she has in mind. I'm glad that we are like-minded. And in the process of years, we have become more like-minded. Our minds have become synchronized together. And in large degree, that has resulted from both our minds being nurtured by and programmed by the Word of God. You see, you develop like-mindedness when you share the same values, when you share the same philosophy of life, when you hold the same beliefs and sustain the same belief system, when you have those same things in your mind, that produces the kind of harmony and unity and oneness that Paul speaks of in Philippians chapter 2. In verse number 2, he says, "Fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord." See, folks who are like-minded, they can experience the same love. Whether you're talking about a husband and wife, or whether you're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ, whether you're talking about elders and deacons, or elders and preachers, or preachers and deacons, or teachers and parents, or parents and teachers, they can have the same mindset because they can have the same things in mind. They can be on the same page and can have the same love. That's one of the reasons why Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 34, I believe, 34-35, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." Being of one accord. You know, that's being in unity with each other. Being together. You know, at the very beginning of the church, you saw a demonstration of this kind of relationship among the people of God. When you look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord, in one place. They were together. They were unified. They were waiting. They had been told that the Spirit was coming. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. But they were there and they were unified. We can have that same mind. We can have that unity. And then he speaks in the last part of verse number 2. He speaks of one mind, of one mind. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. You had some division, some unlike-mindedness going on in the city of Corinth. But Paul was pleading for them to have unity, for them to have the same mind. Now notice Paul's language here. He says in verse number 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, notice now, that you all speak the same thing. And it's important for parents raising children to speak the same thing. You know, mama's speech must be synchronized with daddy's speech. Because if there's any way for a child to divide you, they can do it if you are not speaking the same thing. See, it's important that husbands and wives, fathers and mothers speak the same thing. It's important for elders and preachers to speak the same thing, to have unity. Paul said, I beseech you that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. So there be no divisions at home, no divisions in the church, but that you be perfectly joined together. Notice this now, in the same mind and in the same judgment. Isn't that wonderful? That such is possible? But the only way you can have the same mind, the same judgment, and speak the same thing and have no divisions among you, you must subscribe to the same guide. And this guide, this is it right here. You want harmony in your home, you have to have everybody subscribe to the same guide. And if they subscribe to the same guide, then they'll speak the same thing. There will be no divisions among them. They'll be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, there are some folks who are on a totally different page from other folk. You know, but this book will bring us together. This book will unify us. Now, Jesus prayed that we all might be one. You know, that's to be true at home. He was speaking specifically of the church and of his people, the disciples, the apostles, and all those they converted, and everybody who's been converted as a result of the teaching that has been recorded and preserved for us in the Bible. Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all might be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also might be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me. He wanted them to be unified. Paul is making his passionate plea to the Corinthian Christians when he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, same judgment. That's like-mindedness. This is what Paul is talking about in Philippians chapter 2, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each of you esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So what do you have in mind? Humility. Humility. That's what you should have in mind, humility. You should have a spirit of unselfishness, a spirit of selflessness in mind. You should have a spirit of unity in mind. What do you have in mind? You should have in mind a spirit of love in mind. What should you have in mind? What do you have in mind? You ought to have a spirit of cooperation in mind. And you know, I guess the best way to synchronize all of our minds so we'd have the same mind and so we will be like-minded, I think the best way to do it, you know, let's say that we wanted to synchronize all of our watches, you know, all of our timepieces. We wanted to centralize them and make sure that everybody had the same time. You know, that's tough. I would dare say that what time Brother William has right now is not exactly the same time Brother Gerald. What time do you have, Brother Gerald? 6:32, Brother William. 6:32. Man, it's wonderful. The elders are synchronized, brother. 6:32, 6:32. He said Western Union time. My question is it Greenwich time? 6:32. What about you? Sister Wilson, you have your watch? Jean, what time you have? You have your watch? 6:30. Okay. Okay. He has 6:30. James, you got your watch? Now, the deacon, what time you have, sir? 6:33. Okay. 6:33? Y'all sure y'all didn't get together? So now you got the elders and deacon. Their watches are synchronized. My watch is in the car. So I'm not sure what time it has, but it'd be wonderful if it had 6:33. You know, my watch is about 4 minutes fast. And my watch, my clock in the car, I won't even tell you how fast it is. But in order for us to synchronize our clocks, there needs to be one central clock, one main clock that everybody can look at and set their watch by that clock. And that's the easiest way to do it. Rather than trying to pool and get together and say, okay, what time you have, what time I have, let's see which, have a main standard clock. And everybody look at that standard clock to see what time it is, then set your watch to that clock. Now, what am I saying? Now, if everybody want to be like-minded, if everybody want to have the same mind, everybody want to have the same thing in mind, there needs to be a standard mind somewhere that all of us can look at and we can fashion our mind and program our mind, synchronizing our minds with the mastermind. Now, where is that mastermind? Is there such a mind? There most certainly is. Verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if Sister Daniel has the mind of Christ, and if Sister Sharon has the mind of Christ, and Brother Gary has the mind of Christ, and Brother James McCullough has the mind of Christ, and James Waller has the mind of Christ, then they are like-minded. Amen. They have the same mind. And when we have the same mind, we are unified. We are together. You know, one thing that really never ceases to fascinate me is soldiers when they are marching in lockstep. That's a beautiful thing. Synchronize, everybody stepping right the way they're supposed to step. They all have been programmed to step that way. But what is even more fascinating, and I never was in the band, but I had some brothers who were, but when you see marching bands out on the field, and when they are in perfect harmony, perfectly synchronized, and they be moving around, they're playing the music, they are marching, they are making formation, they are forming letters, or they are forming certain symbols. That really, I wonder, how do they keep up? How do they do that? They have been trained. They have a band director, and they have practiced. They have worked hard in order to master those maneuvers, and they do it with great precision. But they are operating under the same director. They have the same music in mind. They have the same instructions in mind, and they're able to keep functioning in a synchronized fashion without missing a beat. Everybody knows what he's supposed to be doing. That's the way it should be with those of us who are members of the body of Christ, having that same mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16, Paul asked the question, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Then he affirms, but we have the mind of Christ. Talking about working together, being synchronized, over in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 6, Paul says that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's what we do. We're talking about speaking the same thing. We do that wonderfully well when we're singing, that you might with one mouth glorify God, speaking the same thing as we sing. Just think about the discord. Think about the confusion if you were singing one verse, I was singing another verse, some other folk were singing another verse, and somebody else was singing another song. And then somebody else was singing a different song, and we were all singing together. Wouldn't that be a mess? That'd be a mess, wouldn't it? But now when we do it like this, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. Because we'd all have the same thing in mind. And the degree to which we have the same thing in mind signifies the degree to which we can achieve our goals and our objectives and be successful as the people of the Lord, as we work together with each other in an harmonious and cooperative fashion. Having the same mind, being of like mind, being of one accord, having the same love, having one mind, that all speaks of unity. My question to you again is, what do you have in mind? I hope you have in mind the same thing I have in mind as the people of God. If you're here this evening and you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ, now's a good time to do it. Everybody in here who's a New Testament Christian did the same thing to become New Testament Christians. Everybody in here. Everybody who became a New Testament Christian in the times of the apostles and the early Christians, they did the same thing. They had the same thing in mind. That message that Peter delivered on Pentecost when the inquiring multitude crying out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He gave the answer. That was the answer then, and it's the answer now. If you have that same information in mind of how Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, how he was buried and how he arose again the third day, if you have that same information in mind that others have had in mind who have obeyed the gospel of Christ, you believe that Jesus loved you enough to die for you, that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, he arose from the grave triumphantly on the third day. You believe and process in your mind that Jesus is indeed the Son of God and requires repentance, a change of mind. That's what repentance is all about, changing your mind and then changing your behavior, changing your direction, changing your commitments, and changing your loyalties. So you turn away from the world and away from sin, you turn to God, ready to live for him. And then you can stand before men and confess with your mouth the sweetest name on mortal tongue. That is the name of Jesus, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus says, if you'll confess me, then I'll confess you. If you'll deny me, then I'll deny you, depending upon what you have in mind. And then if you will submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins, the Lord will gladly take away your sins. The Lord will gladly add you to the church for which his Son died on the cross. He'll add you to the group, to the body of saved believers. That's what the church is. It's made up of individuals, of saved, obedient believers. And everybody who is saved had to do the same thing. They have to follow the same pattern. They have to have in mind the same thing that you're going to have in mind, that you're going to have to act upon if you're to become a Christian. You can become one today. Now is a wonderful time to do it. The Lord makes no mistakes. When you do what he says do in the book, he will grant you the promises that he has promised to those who obey him. If you're here and you're already a Christian, but you've fallen by the wayside and you need to rededicate your life or you need to be restored, you can do that depending, of course, upon what you have in mind. If you're willing to repent of your sins, if you're willing to acknowledge your sin, to confess your sin, and willing to pray, you know, we'll be delighted to be of like mind to pray with you and for you that you might be forgiven. If you're here and you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, I don't know what your intentions are. I don't know what your plans are. I don't know what your desires are, but I know you have something in mind. But just standing here looking at you, I don't know what you have in mind. But if you have in mind obeying the Lord this evening, I hope you'll show that by responding in obedience as we together stand and as we sing.
Sometime we'll stand before the judgment bar, the quick, the risen dead. The Lord will then make known our record, there our name will all be read. We'll be present when the roll is called, pure and spotless through the crimson flood. I will answer when he calls my name. I am saved through Jesus' blood. Then we shall meet to never part again. Our toil will then be o'er. We'll lay our burdens down at Jesus' feet and rest forever. Oh, well, I'll be present when the road